Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello, welcome to Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast episode number 87. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. If you are looking for strategies to live a naturally healthy life, then you are in the right place. Today's episode is being recorded with Puppy at my feet. And the puppy, everybody, if you've listened a couple episodes ago, I told everybody that I got a new puppy. He's a deaf puppy, so he can't hear me talking. But you might hear him a little bit. I think up and down, he's starting to get too big for my podcast closet, essentially. I record in a closet because I get better sound here. And he's growing and getting a little too big for it. So if you hear him moving around, that's why. There really is a dog recording with me. That's exactly probably what it will sound like. So today we are doing a podcast on questions and answers that questions I've received answers that I give to the most popular, like the most common questions that I get. I thought this would be useful for everybody, give you some useful information. And if this is your question, awesome. If it's not your question, don't hesitate to send me a message, Delaine at DelaneMD.com. I will answer it by email, and then I will probably use it on a future question and answer episode. So before we get started today, you know, I always like to share with you the things that I'm doing to uplevel my health. As you've heard me say before, I reclaimed my health about 3 years ago, but I'm a firm believer there's always room to uplevel. And so I'm always looking for things to uplevel my health, to try to see if it works, see if I feel better, see if I see any results. So the interesting thing that I have to share for you guys today is recently I had this really bizarre knee issue. I don't know how it happened, but my right knee got very, very exquisitely painful. I've been a runner for 31, 32 years, and I've never, ever, 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 ever had any knee problems. Maybe mild aches and pains here and there, but nothing ever that kept me from running. This kept me from walking. This actually had me in a recliner for about 3 days. So, and it was swollen, and I could see that there was clearly what we call a fusion in medicine on it. And I was like, this is so strange. So I called an orthopedist that's a friend of mine, and they told me that they felt like it was probably, I've never even heard of this. The fat pad in my knee got irritated and it's inflamed and it's a problem. I explained to her exactly what was going on, and she said, oh yeah, that sounds just like this. And I was like, that's weird. And then I looked it up and I was like, yeah, she's right. That's exactly what it sounds like. So this has really hobbled me for about 4 weeks, which again is just incredibly uncommon, and it's really had me out of my groove. It's been really interesting to see the thoughts that I create from my experience of doing my typical routine and then what's kind of being created from not doing that. That's been really interesting to watch. But the more interesting thing that I really want to share with you is the anti-inflammatory that I used. So for the first probably six or seven days, I used ibuprofen, 800 milligrams ibuprofen. This is pretty standard dosing for orthopedic pain or musculoskeletal pain in modern medicine, Western medicine. This is what we do. Well, I know that there's a lot of problems with taking ibuprofen. Stomach issues, GI upset can cause some heartburn issues or even some gastritis, or even in worst case scenario, ulcers can be caused by overuse of NSAIDs. In addition to that, it really changes the way that your gut starts to process food and can mess with your microbiota, your microbiome, and your gut. And I wasn't really interested in that. So I was trying to get off the ibuprofen as quickly as I can. But again, this like pain was really pretty exquisite. I'm not used to, like, not that I'm a baby about pain, but I was really surprised at how uncomfortable that knee was. So I was taking the ibuprofen and then was trying to really like, when can I come off of this? And I have kind of these, I have a table full of supplements. It's not like it's 500 supplements on this table. It's probably 10 supplements. I don't take the supplements every day. I will take them if I think about it, or if I think I need it, or if I'm like, oh, I haven't taken that in a while, or that was really helpful, then I'll take them. So I have fish oil as one of these supplements. I take it pretty regularly, probably 5 out of 7 days a week, I take the fish oil supplement. And so I was like, oh yeah, I probably need to take that. And I hadn't taken it in a number of days because I'd been so busy sucking down all this ibuprofen, and I just don't like pills sitting in my tummy. So I took this fish oil tablet just because it was like time to take it. I was shocked at how much pain relief I had that day. And I was like, oh, it's just getting better. Awesome. So the next day I went about my business. I didn't take the fish oil and the pain was back. And I was like, interesting. I wonder if it was the fish oil. I mean, it is an anti-inflammatory, right? That's why fish oil is beneficial to your heart, is because the inflammation is actually what causes the coronary artery disease, the heart disease. So that's why we recommend fish oil for cardiac health. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I know it's an anti-inflammatory, but that's kind of weird, like that it would work for acute inflammation and acute pain, not just, you know, this prevention and kind of health maintenance component of the inflammation. So I took it again and again, like I had pain relief with it. I was like, that is the strangest thing. So I started to look at the research. What does the medical literature say about this? And I came across a number of different articles that all say that, yeah, fish oil can be used as an acute anti-inflammatory, the same way you would use ibuprofen or Aleve or aspirin. So the articles that I found go all the way back to like 2006, so quite a ways back. One of the articles was actually published in a neurosurgical journal, and they found significant reduction in both arthritic pain using fish oil and also some effect on postoperative pain. I found another article from 2017 that talks about significant reduction in inflammation. I found another article from 2007 that talked about the dosing. So you can take up to 6 grams per day to get this anti-inflammatory response, this acute anti-inflammation that will help you with your acute pain. But it did say that typically you're going to want to take at least 2.7 grams for efficacy. So I thought that was really interesting. And I thought you guys might find that interesting if you're into living a naturally healthy life and you don't want all the side effects that really come with using ibuprofen or Advil, Aleve, those kinds of medications. If you're not interested in all of that, or if you've been told by your doctor not to take it, this is another method for pain relief if you have a migraine or if you have knee pain or if you have back pain. So anyway, I thought you might find that interesting. I found it interesting. You're not only getting the benefits, the cardiac benefits from the fish oil that you will get from the fish oil, but you also are getting pain relief with that. So try it out. Questions, holler at me. Remember, I'm not your doctor. If you have any questions about whether that's the right thing for you to do, you need to discuss that with your physician. I'm not here to give any medical advice, but definitely I am here to share the things that I find that might be pertinent to living a naturally healthy life. But if you have any questions, take it up with your physician, your primary care provider, whoever that might be. All right, quick plugs for upcoming podcasts. In the next couple weeks, we're going to have a couple different kind of special podcasts. There will be interviews. One is going to be an interview with a life and purpose coach. She works with people on finding their purpose in life. Recognize that so much about reclaiming your health, reversing your type 2 diabetes, becoming naturally healthy, really has to do with a belief in your purpose in life. If you have a belief that your purpose is to be there for your family, but diabetes is preventing you from doing that, you're going to have this friction with this inner core, this integrity of who you are. This has to do with purpose. Stay tuned because that conversation is going to be really great. I don't want you to miss it. I'm also going to be doing a podcast on the USDA guidelines, dietary guidelines. And I'm interviewing my children, a couple of them, not all 7 of my children. Don't get excited about that. Don't get worried about it. I am interviewing a couple of them to talk about what they see in the school district with the USDA guidelines, because recognize our public school system utilizes the USDA dietary guidelines to set their lunch protocols and their breakfast protocols. And when I am shocked to see how the school system interprets those guidelines and the foods that they serve our kids, and they say that it's in line with these USDA dietary guidelines. I'm going to look at the dietary guidelines and then also have this discussion with people, my children, who are seeing these guidelines implemented and seeing how twisted it kind of gets. So stay tuned for that also. That'll be coming up in the next few weeks. All right, so let's dig in to the questions and answers, the most common questions that I get. And really, these are some of the probably most helpful information to share with folks as they're trying to reverse their diabetes, normalize their blood sugar, start eating right. So the one question that I get frequently, probably the most that I get from both clients and podcast listeners, and also it's the one that really creates a ton of frustration in people, is why is my morning blood sugar, my fasting blood sugar, always so high? Why is that the highest blood sugar I ever see? And the answer to this has nothing to do clearly with what you eat, right? Like, you were asleep for 8 hours. You weren't getting up and eating, right? You weren't hitting the fridge and just not remembering. That's what people, they really come to me worried about that. What am I doing in the middle of the night that's causing these blood sugars to be so high? I can't even figure it out. So recognize those fasting blood sugars are not related to what you are eating. Your fasting blood sugar in the morning is actually related to a cortisol release that happens for every human being in the early morning hours. One, it's not related to the food that you eat. Two, it's a hormonal release that, although you have long-term management of stress and illness and health in your body, will impact that cortisol release. But in moment to moment, you do not. It's not like you're squeezing the cortisol bag a little more this day and a little less that day. That's not how it works. The other interesting thing is this is really where we see the most evidence of the reversal of your type 2 diabetes. When that fasting blood sugar starts to normalize, that's when we as physicians know that you're really, quote unquote, burning off all your insulin resistance. All of that insulin resistance is starting to normalize. And we know that because that fasting blood sugar starts to normalize. So I like to look at this cortisol response. I look at it as the original refrigerator. It's like the refrigerator that was there 10,000 years ago. So if you think about it, 10,000 years ago, there wasn't a cupboard with breakfast foods in it. There wasn't a fridge with breakfast foods in it. When we woke up in the morning as human beings, we needed to have energy in our system, in our bloodstream, to get up and do the things that human beings do. This is the cortisol response. That cortisol response spikes in the morning, depending on how long you've had diabetes or how sick you are with something else. You may have a higher cortisol response, but every human being has a cortisol response in the morning. And it is for the purpose of releasing glucose into your bloodstream to give your cells energy to go around and be a human being all day long. That's exactly what it is. You will see a higher cortisol response in type 2 diabetics because, remember, type 2 diabetes is a disease state. Your body is diseased at that point. You know, not like your body's bad or unvaluable. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But you are going through what we call a pathologic state when you are actively type 2 diabetic. It's not just the blood sugar component. It's the insulin in your system. It's other hormonal dysregulation. It's changes to our endothelium of our vessels. It's changes to our nerves. It's changes all over. So recognize type 2 diabetes, although we all focus, all the physicians focus on blood sugars, there's a lot of other things going on below the surface that you may not be aware of that your body picks up as pathology, as disease. And because of that, you have a more exaggerated cortisol response in that moment or during those times when you're sick. Once you normalize your blood sugars, so you start eating in a way that normalizes your blood sugars. Once your insulin comes down to a normal range and you start to release insulin in a normal fashion, once all of those things happen, the cortisol response is not as exaggerated because you're not sick. You're not under stress. In turn, that fasting blood sugar comes down. So that is why your morning blood sugar is always going to be the highest blood sugar. Almost always, that's what I will see with type 2 diabetics. In my program, we have an entire week where we talk about non-food reasons that your blood sugars go up. And there are so many more. I mean, we all believe it's just about the food we eat. And this is the really frustrating thing, right? This is the frustrating component to my clients. I work with professional people who do really challenging things in the world, right? They're lawyers, they're doctors, they are business owners. They solve hard problems in the world, but they can't figure out how to solve this. So that morning blood sugar being so high is so very frustrating to them, right? We go into all of this in the program. So if that's something you're interested in, recognize there's help for that. This is really a lot more complicated than just the foods that you're eating. Okay. So that is my answer for the question of why are my blood sugars highest in the morning? If you have any questions about that, don't ever hesitate. Send me an email, Delaine@DelaineMD.com. Okay. The next question that I get a lot, I get this a lot from people, podcast listeners. Why do you talk about weight loss so much? So the answer to this is part of it's personal. It was my journey. And part of it is because, of course, we know there is a very tight correlation between obesity and diabetes. And we know there's a lot of health benefits to weight loss in addition to reversing your type 2 diabetes. But more than all of that, the science behind why you gain weight and why you have diabetes are the same. Remember that type 2 diabetes is you have too much insulin on board. You have all this insulin in your system. Your cells become resistant to the message insulin's trying to get to your cells. Your cells don't respond correctly. That allows your blood sugars to climb very high, and that's diabetes. However, insulin also causes your body to make fat. And we're going to talk about this. I think I mentioned this last week. We're going to have an upcoming podcast where I talk about how is it the food that you're eating making you fat, or is it your fat making you eat foods that make you fat? Which one is it? There's actually a lot of evidence that it's the fat that you have created in your body that's releasing neurochemistry, releasing chemical messengers, hormones into your body that cause you to want to eat more food so you gain weight. So that's really an interesting piece of evidence that's coming out recently. But recognize insulin also causes you to store fat. It is a storage hormone. It is an energy storage hormone. That is what insulin does. It manages energy. And so insulin goes to your fat cells, causes your fat cells to pull on extra energy, and it stores it up. And that's why obesity and diabetes go hand in hand. Now recognize there are a lot of thin people out there who have diabetes. What? Hold the phone. I know. Sounds crazy, but it is true. We all have gotten very accustomed to seeing obesity tied to diabetes. But one of the fastest growing populations of diabetics are thin diabetics. They call it thin on the inside, or thin on the outside, fat on the inside. TOFI, T-O-F-I, thin on the inside, fat on the outside. And these folks, of course, are clearly diabetic, not because of their obesity, but because of the foods that they're eating. I've said this over and over, but if you haven't heard me say it, recognize type 2 diabetes is not caused by your genes. It didn't run in your family. Your love for apple pie and pizza, that runs in your family. Type 2 diabetes, 99% of the time, is caused by the foods that we are eating, not by a genetic predisposition. I am not going to say that there's never ever any genetic predisposition. There probably is. It's why some people can be very obese and we don't ever pick up evidence of type 2 diabetes in them. But I would venture to say that it does not mean that they don't have hyperinsulinemia. They don't have too much insulin on board. And hyperinsulinemia is what is causing type 2 diabetes. So recognize you can be hyperinsulinemic and a normal weight. Okay. And it's all because of the foods that we're eating. So that is why we talk about weight loss so much on the podcast and in my program, because one, most people who are diabetic are going to want weight loss. Like most of them have, there is a very strong correlation with diabetes and obesity. So most of my clients come, they want to fix their diabetes, and oh, if I could lose weight, that would be awesome. I help them do that. And that's why there's so much crossover. Also, the science behind them are the same. There's a lot of crossover. So that's why we talk about weight loss so much. The next question that I have, which artificial sweeteners are okay? I get this question all the time. I would say none of them. If you're going to have a sweetener, eat something natural. Use honey, use maple syrup. What does the science say? I would say none of them. What does the science say? The science says that things like stevia and monk fruit are going to have less of a negative impact on you. So what are the negative impacts? Because most people come to me and they're like, but there's no calorie. There's no carbs in my Diet Coke. Why is it a problem if I'm having these artificial sweeteners? So why it is a problem is because in nature, the only time you get a substantial amount of sweetness on the tongue, 10,000 years ago, right? That kind of nature. 10,000 years ago, the only time you get a substantial amount of sweetness on your taste buds is when there is a high dose of carbohydrates behind it. Bananas, grapes, apples, fruits, right? Those are naturally sweet things, and they are associated with a high dose of carbohydrates. So your body starts to prep when it tastes sweetness. It starts to prepare for a high dose of carbohydrates being influxed into the body, okay? Some of what that means is that your body starts to produce insulin. Even though there are no carbohydrates, even though there are no sugars, your body starts to produce insulin. So recognizing that that is going to propagate the hyperinsulinemia that is the cause of type 2 diabetes, right? That is going to continue the problem. So even though you're not going to maybe have a huge blood sugar burst, you are going to have more insulin produced. And in type 2 diabetes, producing more insulin is not the right answer. That is not how you fix type 2 diabetes. So I would say, one, for that main reason, that there is, don't do any artificial sweeteners. If you need to have something sweet, just have honey, have something natural. Hell, have table sugar, but I would stay away from the artificial sweeteners. The other component that you get into problems with the sweeteners is that you get a lot of brain chemistry worked up. So your brain starts to crave sweetness because it's had the artificial sweetener. You have to work through the cravings for the sweetness then, which most of my clients tell me they don't enjoy. They don't enjoy craving the sweets all the time. So I typically recommend against any of the artificial sweeteners. If you're going to use them, just use honey and don't use it a lot. Some people do very well with the artificial sweeteners, though. So it's not one size fits all. It's not never ever. I'm not a never ever kind of person. But recognize the science that happens with those artificial sweeteners. And the last question I'm going to cover today, I've got some others. Again, I'll put these into a future Q&A podcast. And if you have any questions that you want answered, definitely send them to me at email, delaine@delainemd.com. I will answer them through the email, but then I will put them into the next Q&A podcast that I do. The last question I want to talk about is, what can I take to reverse my diabetes? Most of the time, people are talking about supplements at this point. They're asking, what supplements can they take? And there are some supplements that are shown to have benefits. Berberry is one of them. And then cinnamon is another one that's, you know, statistically shown to have evidence. But what I want to offer you is, you don't need to take anything to reverse your diabetes. You just need to stop eating foods that offend your body. It's much more simple than that. It's a very interesting phenomenon that most humans want to do something versus stop doing something. They'll do this with exercise too, and that's a whole other question, but they'll be like, oh, but I'm just not exercising enough. And I'm like, no. There's no amount of exercise that undoes the pizza that you ate. It's the pizza. You need to stop eating the foods that offend your body. So that is my answer to that. There is nothing to do, to take, to add to your life to reverse your type 2 diabetes. You really have to stop eating foods that offend your body. So there are a number of supplements. Again, I told you I've got this table full of supplements. It's really not. It's like I said, it's like 10 bottles, and I don't take them every day. It's vitamin D, vitamin B12, and some other things. The fish oil. I have a multivitamin. I don't take them every day. I take them a lot of days, but I don't take them every day. And supplements, I feel, are not meant to fix your health. They're meant to supplement. They are meant to enhance your health, not really fix your health. You have to actually fix your health. You have to do the things to fix whatever is pathologic about your health. And then supplements may be able to enhance other parts. I think that's great. But using supplements as the way to undo damage that you're doing to your body is not going to work. So, all right, that is what I've got for you for this question and answer podcast. Again, send me any questions. I'm happy to get them. I really enjoy this stuff, and I enjoy sharing with people different alternative ideas about how to fix their health, how to live that naturally healthy life. Clearly, taking metformin, atorvastatin, aspirin, and lisinopril every day is not a naturally healthy life. That is not how you're living naturally healthy. I don't care how in range your A1C is. Living a naturally healthy life means that you're doing things and living in a way that's in accordance with nature so that your body is no longer sick. And that's really what I help people do. If that's something you're interested in, if that's something you've been looking for somebody to help guide you through, that's exactly what I do in my program. If you're interested in that, send me a message, delaine@delainemd.com. We'll set up a free mini coaching session. You'll see what the coaching is like. You'll see what the program is like, and you can make a decision if that is right for you. I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.